Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Positively Autistic Radio Series Autism Chat on Saturday, the 11th of March, 2017. And this has been such a long time since we've done one, so we're all back here ready for another fantastic show. And on today's show, we have Jeanette Perkis, one of our favourite friends from Australia. And we also have my little helper, Joe Westlake, joining us on the show. So, shall we see you here, Joe? Good morning.
I am. Good morning, Sarah. Hello. Happy Saturday or happy weekend. We've finally reached it. It'll be over in a blink of an eye, but we're looking forward to the show.
So, we also are now ready for our chat with Jeanette Perkis. So, good morning, Jeanette.
Good evening, Sarah. Lovely to speak with you.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you so much for coming on, Jeanette. I hope that the lovely weather down there is keeping you all happy. With the weather down here also looking good.
Oh, that's good. It's been lovely now. It's early autumn, which is probably the nicest time of the year in Canberra weather-wise. So it's been beautiful. And, I'm just having a lovely... I've had a very big week, so I'm enjoying the fact it's the weekend.
So would you like to tell us all about what you've been up to, Jeanette, and explain all about the ACT Women's Award? So it's over. Perkis is one of our Positively Autistic radio hosts, and she is a brilliant radio host, and she does amazing work for all those on the autistic spectrum out there in Australia. She's won some awards. And she's a author of autism books, which I have read a lot of her books, and they are absolutely brilliant. So I will now introduce her to tell us all about a little bit about her ACT Women's Award. So hi, Jeanette, and do you want to tell us all about the ACT Women's Award and what it was achieved for?
Thank you, Sarah. I always love coming on your show with you and Joe. It's wonderful. Yes, I am one of the radio show hosts, which is one of many things I do in the autism community. So I'm an author. I'm a blogger. Blogging, of course, is the most terrifying kind of writing because you pour your heart and soul into 800 words, put it online, and people go, I don't like that. But apart from that, it's lots of fun, and you get some interesting feedback, and I do love it. I'll be a bit tongue-in-cheek. I also do a lot of articles for other websites and magazines. I do a lot of public speaking, and I'm very active in the local community. So I live in Australia. I live in Canberra, which, if you've done your Australian geography, you will know is the capital, but it's not a big city. It's only about 400,000 of us, but it is the capital of Australia. So we have the federal government here and everything. And I've lived here for just over 10 years and worked for the government in administration sort of roles as my paid work. And also I felt a need to do some things to support local autistic people and those who love and care for us. So I'm very active here and I have quite a profile here. One thing I've done for the last 6 years is facilitate a women's group called the Canberra Autism Women's Group, which is a support group for mums of girls on the spectrum who may or may not be autistic themselves, and teens and women on the spectrum. So it's a lovely thing. I do a lot of work here with presenting and supporting individuals, supporting families through advocacy and things like that. And so, yes, the last couple of years I've had quite a few awards for my work in the local community. So not just as an autistic advocate, but as a community member. So last year I was named ACT, which is Australian Capital Territory, which is like the state where we live, Volunteer of the Year, which was awesome. And this year I was nominated for Women. I was nominated for that award this year, and the final ceremony thing was on Tuesday, which was lovely, and we had some of the local politicians were there, and a woman called Virginia Hausiger was the guest speaker, and she's an amazing woman. She's a journalist. She used to do the local news, but she's incredible, does a lot of stuff for women's advocacy and women's rights, and she was the guest speaker. I got to talk to her afterwards, and the best thing was that my mum could come along. Now, my mum is autistic. She's on the spectrum herself. When I was a child and a young person, my life was very difficult. Unfortunately, a lot of people thought that was my mum's fault with her poor parenting. My mum did not do poor parenting. She did different parenting. It was fine for me. She's the best mum I could ever hope for. But people misjudged that and thought that it was her fault for being odd. And so she was on the receiving end of a lot of misery from judgment and poor advice from people, on top of having to deal with someone like me, her daughter, who was in a really difficult space and all the stress that came with that. So as soon as I found out I was a finalist for this award, I said, how many people can I bring along as guests? Mm-hmm. And I brought my mum, of course, first choice, my friend Lisbeth, who's wonderful, and one of my my manager at work, who's really lovely as well, and is a good friend, Trish. And my mum was so happy. I put this beautiful photo that Lisbeth took on my phone of my mum and me, and we're both holding my certificate for the award, and we're both just looking at each other. It's so lovely. I don't do facial expressions well, but I can just tell looking at that. It is two people that love one another an awful lot, and that just to be able to do that. I didn't win. I didn't get the prize, but I, got to meet some wonderful people, and being a finalist in such a thing is still pretty impressive. So I was very happy about that. But the main thing was to have my mum there, because it meant so much to her, and she was so happy. And I just think for autistic parents, autistic kids, they get so much poor advice, blame, guilt, judgment, when they really don't deserve it. And actually, they're probably just a little bit different, maybe, and from your more traditional expected parent yourselves, but that doesn't mean, for an autistic child, an autistic parent is usually the best parent, because they actually, like with my mum, she was on my side all the time. She understood me. I understood her. We're very close. I wouldn't have had that with a non-autistic mum. So
right.
Go mums, I say, including mine.
Yeah, that's so fantastic, Jeanette. I mean, being somebody on the autistic spectrum, it's nothing to be ashamed of, and it doesn't matter if somebody finds you quirky or right. It's just being on the autistic spectrum, you're different, and you learn about being different. And I think it's so important that professionals learn all about the insights as to what autistic people are all about, and their needs, their support, their care. And, we must continue to professionally train up people on autism so that they get a lot of more professional education and training and insight into what it's like for themselves to live on the autistic spectrum and what they expect.
The fact that it's really important to have, really kind of, I guess, flowery and fun and bubbly look on things as well. It really helps.
Yeah.
I think so as well. Then just being, plain and to the point, it's really nice to make things fun as well. And I think that's a good way forward to help people and see the light as well in their difficult times. Because, people are all at different points in their life as well. So the people that we come across each have their own stories to tell as well. So I think that stance really helps.
And I think also it's how we handle the ignorant side of the condition, because I think a lot of people suffer with not just bullying, but we've got to deal with how we prevent that bullying and how we deal with it. And that's a priority as well that we should all be looking together in doom as well. So I think that's a really important message that we need to be sending out there.
I think absolutely, and I think the sort of self-advocacy and pride in who we are and all of those things are not taking when people, assume that because you're autistic you won't be able to do something, or all those stupid stereotypes about how we're rude and we have no empathy and all this. It's a misunderstanding of our different communication style rather than people being very realistic. And I think there's a lot of negativity around autism, around autistic people, and all that stuff about what we can't do. And actually, if you give people a chance, if you don't give people a chance to try something, they won't be able to do it. And you'll say, oh, no, they couldn't because they never had a go. But if you give someone a chance, you support someone to do what they can, then you'll be surprised. I mean, I applied for a professional job over 10 years ago, and loads of people told me I wouldn't be able to do it. I didn't listen to them. I thought, well, I think I can. So there's so many people like me that think that. There's a lot of people get very demoralised when their friends tell them they can't do things, and it actually discourages them from even having a go. And I think that's one of the issues, is that we're not visible. You know, it's that idea of if you can't see it, you can't be it. So if you're an autistic kid and you don't see any autistic adults doing anything that really is what you'd like to do with your life or your career or something, it'll be that much harder to do it. So I think role modelling and mentoring and all those things is really important.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of professional autism books already, and I've been reading one by Ron Sanderson called The Parent's Guide to Autism, and he reflects on how we use faith to help him cope with his autism and how important it is to educate professionals and members of the public out there on autism so that they get a clear, concise understanding of what autism is and the issues that come with it. And I took the bullet points to Andy Kay, my colleague at the community team Learning Disability here in the UK, and we looked through the bullet points, and he said all of these are so important to go on our action plan because they're relevant. And he said the more information we can access to people, the better it's more understood at a clear, concise way forwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of do what works. I always say do what works unless it's illegal or dangerous. But basically, if you have a strategy that works for you, then use it, because everyone's strategies are going to be different. What I use to get through the day is probably different from what you might use or what someone else might use. But if it's effective and it enables us to get through life and do well, I don't really mind what it is, you know. I'm a very practical person, and I think strategies are probably the most important things we have, because life's going to be difficult. I mean, everyone's life is difficult. Autistic people often have maybe other complexities and difficulties on top of that. But it doesn't mean you should give up or anything. It's just a matter of thinking, well, how can I get through this? How can I make my life and what I do actually work for me and enable me to do what I want to do? And that's how I came from a very dark place. If anyone's read my autobiography, it's all about horrible things in my life and mental illness and criminal justice stuff and being naive and trusting and ending up getting in all sorts of trouble that I didn't expect or foresee, and people abusing me and taking advantage of me and all of those things. I had to somehow get from there to here, and most of it was around using appropriate support and finding strategies that worked for me, and that's enabled me to get from a very dark place to quite a lovely. I have a wonderful life now most of the time. Still have the mental health issues, manage them reasonably well. Sometimes I don't, you know, we were talking before about, you know, hospital and stuff. Well, I've been there and done that. But, it's all a sort of practical thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think it's really lovely. And I think your story really sheds a powerful insight, Jeanette. And I think actually for those listening that have either experienced or experienced the same thing, it really gives them, I think, hope, because, you know, they're looking at your story, and I'm sure you know you're a big inspiration to us all, and it just, you know, it shows that things can change. And I suppose, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I know it's taken a lot of hard work, and you've had to go through lots of things to get to where you are now. But I think it's just so powerful for everyone going through the same thing, their families, and just really that overall there is hope, and, you know, keep working hard and keep working through, you know, any issues with support and people who are able to help you, and you know, just think things will get better, hopefully.
Yeah, if you give them a powerful incentive to be motivated, and, you know, give them that support that they can get through anything, as my NHS colleague used to tell me, and when he gave me the Professional Autism Project, he said, this is an incentive, this is like a shock absorber to help you, because he said he didn't want me landing up in hospital because I was self-harming. And I admit that, you know, I admit it honestly and up front, and, you know, because people didn't understand what I was going through. When you're in that dark place, you just need somebody to come along and understand you and give you that support and say, hey, you can get through this. Now, come on, this is just a blip. You can get past this. And so when I was given the project, it really was the lifeline that has really made a difference to me. And I'm so grateful to Terry Randalls and Clive Waring, who have given me this project. And it has really, really come on in huge milestones, and it's been a huge success. So thanks to them, it just really, it's really moved on from where it was in 2005. So I'm really, really proud of what we've achieved so far.
Yeah, that's great. It's good work you do. And also, I find doing work that helps other people and supports other people, it takes me outside of myself. So even if I'm having a hard time, I'm not going to focus on that if I'm focused on helping other people and doing things to support others. So I find that altruism and volunteering is actually a really strong positive in my life in terms of my own welfare, because when focusing on someone else, that shifts the focus from being miserable about myself, and that actually enables me to sort of distract myself from those difficult feelings to a point that I'm sort of past them. So my whole life, and people might not realize this, but every day for me there are significant mental health concerns. This is my life, and it has been since 1995. I got to a point somewhere along the line, and I just thought, I can let this defeat me, or I can just live with it. I can just say, well, that's some additional stuff I have to manage. It's okay. I can manage it. And that has really helped. And, I can get to the point where I'm in a really bad way. I think, well, what's the solution to this? What do you need to do? What do you need to do to be okay? And usually that results in seeking help from a friend or family member or a professional service like Lifeline or something like that, a psychiatrist, and just saying to myself, this will change. You're not going to feel like this in the future. You don't know how you'll feel, but you won't feel like this because things always move on. I think those sorts of things, those practical strategies and thinking, can be really helpful. And I've done lots of psychology and therapy in the past, so I've got to a point where I have no great intention to do any more of that, simply because I know all the psychology models. I know what you're meant to do, and I can do it. But yes, it's good. Oh, okay. Do you want us to stop there, Joe?
No, it's fine. I just wanted you to know that I'm still here.
Oh, that's okay. It's not making a noise on the recording, is it?
No. I was trying not to giggle because
I sent this message and I'm thinking, oh gosh, what have I said wrong?
No.
So we have some questions for Jeanette. So do you want to kick off the first question, Joe?
Okay, well, I think really, Sarah, question one we've covered quite well about the ACT award. But I think perhaps linking into what we were talking about just now is the advocacy. So the advocacy that Jeanette does is a really big part of her life, and it's a really important thing. I think lots of times when we spoke to you before, Jeanette, you said how not only it really helps you because you really want to help others because you've been on that journey yourself, but also I think this is a really good question that Sarah's worded, and what Sarah's said is how could you inspire other people on the spectrum to become advocates themselves, and what advice would you give them to kind of go in the right directions and become an autism advocate? Is there particular organisations they could go to, or looking back on when you first started advocacy and, reaching out to organisations, or even on, I suppose you don't really need to reach out to organisations at the first point because we have social media now, which is a prevalent part of that. So just really what you think and the direction that you took to become and do the autism advocacy that you do.
Would recommend people do if they're interested is just work out what within the sphere of advocacy their particular interests are. So if you're a parent, you might be interested in autistic parents and autistic parenting. So you might get involved in Australia, you might get involved in an organisation like the Sisterhood Society, which is that's one of their things that they've got, or Autism Women Matter or something like that. For me, the one that I'm interested in is advocacy for girls and women. So I'm involved with a number of organisations, and just approach them. You know what? They really want your help. Every organisation out there tend to be run on a very short very tight budget, especially the ones that are sort of grassroots ones. So they're on a tight budget. They need as many people as they get. So if you say, hey, I'm interested in understanding the work you do and contributing, pretty much anyone's going to say, oh, yes, please. That's very likely that they will want them. That's a great sort of start because you can actually meet other people in that field. And, you know, it's just the people, not all of us, we do have some Cranky Pants members, but most of the autistic community that I've met in advocacy are really decent people and they want to make a difference. And so they're not likely to do the big, oh, no, we don't want you, you don't know what you're doing. I think that's really important, is to reach out to other people if you can. Or, if it's, I mean, I started out, I didn't even know there was an autistic peer group until about 2010, I think. And then only because I went to a conference on women and girls and met lots of women and girls. So I did a lot of what I did in isolation through writing and public speaking and stuff. And I didn't have anyone. I had a role model with authoring, which is lovely, Donna Williams, but I didn't have a role model or a mentor around advocacy per se. And so I didn't know how you did it. And I sort of muddled through, but it would have been really nice to have had someone who was experienced to come and assist me and talk me through stuff. Now, I do that for a number of people on the autism spectrum, particularly women who are interested in advocacy. I mentor a number of people. And you know what my aim is? That they will be getting better opportunities than me and lots of them. Because I tell you what, that is such a motivator to actually support others to do well. And it's nice to support yourself to do well, but it's 1,000 times better with other people because it's beyond you and you're doing something nice. You know, you're actually doing something to support not just those people but the community when they spread their good message. So social media is a wonderful thing a lot of the time. Obviously there's some people on there who are trolls and it's not very nice, but for me, most of my work, most of my one-on-one personal stuff gets done by Facebook Messenger and on social media. So I find that's a wonderful thing for our community, and there are lots of groups. And I can connect, you know, through Positively Autistic, I've connected with you guys. You're in the UK, I'm in Australia. You know, it's very, very different places, but there is that ability to connect. So I'm all for social media generally. I think it's a good thing most of the time. And, you know, just find your peer group. You have a peer group. That was a big thing for me when I realised I had an autistic peer group. I'm like, gee, why didn't I know this 15 years ago? It was a really liberating thing to know that there were other people interested in what I'm interested in and in sharing similar experiences and similar things they're aiming towards. That was wonderful. That's a great realisation. So, yeah, find your tribe, as they call it.
question two then. In what other ways do you think we could professionally approach about promoting positive awareness of autism and how to educate professionals on autism, and how do we need to approach this?
I think there's a number of ways to approach that, and of course with these kinds of things it's often better to do lots of different ways than just put all the eggs in the one basket, as they say. Just looking at mental health and autism, so this for me is a very important area, and this is something that means a lot to me personally and professionally as well. And so one of the things I've done about that is co-authored a book on mental health and autism. That's a great way of influencing people, but not everyone has the time or inclination to write a book. I think there's a number of ways to do this. We can, you know, speak at events and things like that and get autistic representation at conferences and all that kind of thing. We can work on a one-on-one basis with people accessing those kinds of services that need an advocate. We can go and support a friend or colleague going into an appointment and then say, would you like an advocate? I can come and do that for you. I can be your support person. So that's on a very, very specific one-on-one level, but that's going to really impact on that friend or person you know in a really positive way. So I guess it's being creative and thinking, well, what needs to be done, and who are the people influential in making, you know, whatever we want to influence? Who are the key players, and how? What kind of strategies can we use to, you know, to support advocacy around autism in those peers and with those people? So I think that would be how I'd approach it. There's not just one way. It's a matter of being quite creative and talking to other people. You're not alone in this. We shouldn't be alone. There's all manner of autistic people all over the world, and lots of people have lots of opinions and thoughts and suggestions. So connect with people that might have an interest if you can, and think laterally if possible about what needs how to do it, but there's all sorts of different ways. You know, there's through one-on-one advocacy, writing, lobbying, all of those things. But it's just do which works for you, I think.
Jem, do you want to ask a question?
Okay, so the final question that we've got for you, Jeanette, is as a public speaker, it kind of links into what we were saying. Do you think that it's important, like, to continue to get the message out there? You know, to keep on, you know, striving to create the awareness rather than something that's just one off. So, you know, we believe in working collaboratively. I think organisations that work together is really nice as well, because especially if we're in different countries, we can share ideas and things like that. So, and I know that you're very keen on opportunities to travel and do talks. So I think, yeah, we just wondered what your view is on doing that on a continual basis, you know, keeping it up and constantly looking at different ways to do things and supporting other people and, you know, like, interconnectedness, keeping networks going and sharing new ideas and then developing it further, really.
For me, this is my passion. So, you know, you get an autistic kid and they love Minecraft or Lego or My Little Pony. That's me. But I'm a grown-up and I love advocacy. So people often say to me, Jeanette, how do you do all that work? And I look at them and I say, I don't. It's not work. And that's exactly how and why I've been able to do this for many, many years with no, you know, no feeling of fatigue, no thinking, oh, I can't keep doing this. I don't know if that's always going to be the case, but for the last sort of 5 or 10 years at least, this has been what I do, this has been what I love, and that is really good. If you've got people who are passionate about what they do, especially autistic people who are passionate, because we do passion well, you know, that's a good thing. And I find with public speaking, I'm going to stop doing public speaking only when people get sick of me and don't ask me anymore. Hopefully that won't happen. But also, on a more serious note, I won't stop doing this until we live in an inclusive society where autistic kids can go to school and go through life and not have all the stuff that we deal with now and that our kids and young people deal with now. That will be when I'll stop public speaking. And then I'll start public speaking about mental health, because that's a whole other area of advocacy I don't normally do much in, but that is another of my experiences. But for me, I think it's really important to get different messages. So I know I go to a bunch of these events and they say, oh, we'll have Jeanette. And then the next year, oh, we'll have Jeanette. I say, well, that's lovely. I like speaking for your organisation, but why don't you get someone else? Because there are so many voices out there. There are so many opinions and thoughts, perspectives. And just having the same people every single time, I don't think that's very helpful. I think get someone else to be the keynote, leave me alone, give me a holiday, because actually we benefit more from a wider range of views. And I always think, you know, people say, oh, I'm interested in doing advocacy. I say, well, please do, because you know what, we could use the more the merrier. The more of us doing this, the better. This, you know, it is really important that we get all those perspectives and all those different voices, because there are so many other people in the community who are impacted by that advocacy, and they all have different perspectives as well. So I only have one perspective, really, which is my own. I'm pretty clever. I'm fairly wise. I can say useful things fairly reliably, but I'm still only one person, and I've still only really got one perspective. So I think, I mean, part of my work is to actually do myself out of a job. I always say to people, look, I want to not have to do this anymore because it's not needed. But also I want to do myself out of a job by getting so many people that can confidently speak on these issues and advocate in their own way that they don't need to pick on the however many small number of us that are well known, especially in Australia. I'm sort of quite popular here at the moment, and that's lovely, but I'm much rather encourage other people to be doing it as well. I think last year there was an article online for one of the TV stations here, SBS, and they have a website as well, and they did this wonderful article about neurodiversity, which is pretty cool in and of itself that a major television station is doing an article on neurodiversity. And so I read this thing, and the best thing about it was that they didn't ask me, and that at least 5 or 10 people, and they quoted heaps of people, I didn't know them all. And I thought, this is wonderful. This is where we need to be, that I know most people, you know, in the community here. I would have thought that there were people they'd asked, so the television station asked people that I didn't know. So not your everyone asked. And I just thought that was wonderful. And I thought, if that can be the case every time, that there's so many of us that have something useful to say, they don't need all the same usual people that they ask every time. I thought that was wonderful. So, yeah, so do yourself out of a job, support other people to do it. That's my views.
And I think also it's nice if we have officially trained autism advocates like myself that need to go out there and be doing the doing of going out there and delivering autism and the work I do, because, you know, I think it has a better effective chances of delivering and educating. That for me, I love what I do. I don't have any particular worries about what I do, because, like Joe said, my work's become extremely effective. And, you know, it's about how we work through those challenges. And when people see my work, they go, wow, amazing, wow, more of this. And just recently, I've been professionally developing what's called an ASC Hands Logo Autism Books Logbook 2017. The idea was about showing people the many autism books that are out there that professionals can access, members of the public can access, universities can access, and, you know, look at the information that you can access from those books. And me and Andy were really impressed with our finishing piece of work, and he went, it's so good to see it being professionally laminated, because it's more professional and high standard when you've got something really solid there you can show people, and they're just going to go, wow.
Yeah. I think another really important message is that anyone who's planning to do a service or something or a program for autistic people needs the autistic perspective. It's not just colour and light. It's not just the, oh, yes, let's get the autistic people to have a view. You will create a better service or program if you involve autistic people in its design and implementation. And I think that's being known more now, but it seems amazing to me that it's only now that that seems to be considered. If a service, I always say, could you imagine if you had a conference about engineering? So you've got somebody who's a labourer building the bridge, and you've got someone who drove over the bridge, and you've got an artist who painted the bridge, but you didn't get the engineer who designed the bridge. That would be very foolish. But we get this in autism. You know, it's like the events happen and they don't have any advocates, or they only have one, and you just think, guys, this is not, you're not being nice to us. We're being nice to you. We have the perspective that you need to deliver your service to autistic people. You're not going to get that from anywhere else. If you're running a conference and you want to make sure it's sensory friendly, get somebody with major sensory issues to come and check out the venue. That is a good idea. And then you won't have all the autistic delegates going, gee, those lights are bright, I can't concentrate on what the speakers are saying. It is really important. It is not an addition. It is not a nice thing. It is not a bonus. You're not doing an autistic person a favour. It is essential. If you're delivering things that autistic people use to involve the autistic perspective, I think that's really important. And what you're saying, Sarah, about your work is a great example of that.
I totally agree with you, Jeanette, because I find that some of the professionals here just have no understanding. They have no idea. They haven't seen my work. They don't understand what I'm delivering. They've made no attempts to engage with me. And when I was sitting on the Autism Partnership Board here in the UK as co-chair, they just didn't want my input. They just didn't want to learn. I'm thinking, well, how are you going to learn then if you're not going to listen to the voices of those on the autistic spectrum themselves, who have the more professionalism, the more knowledge, the more experience of coming from a personal perspective? And if you're going to shut them out, then how are you going to learn?
Definitely, definitely. So, it seems like a no-brainer to me, but apparently not everyone's got a brain against that, haven't they? But yeah, but no, I'm pretty happy. My life's pretty good at the moment. I'm enjoying that. I just get through day by day. I've got the cat. The cat's a good. I'm pretty lucky. I have a very good life, especially considering where I came from. And I guess the nice thing about that is that if I can get to a nice point in my life after all that nastiness I went through as a young person, I guess that probably gives hope to some other people and parents of young people and stuff. So I think that's
that's important to remember. You know, every point in your journey is a point. It's not static. Time moves on. We go through life and we gain skills and we gain understanding and knowledge and wisdom and all of those things as we go through. So.
I absolutely agree with you today. You know, you're so amazing and you give me so much encouragement and, you know, because I need people to motivate me and, you know, when there's times where I've hit the floor and think, I can't do this anymore, you know, but then Joe comes back to me and he goes, come on, yes, you can, you know, and it gives me a kick up the backside and sometimes that's all that I need. I just need a kick up the backside to keep saying, come on, you can do this, look how far you've come, you know, don't give up now. This is just a flip. So it's about motivation and telling people out there that you are the voice of these people. Let's get out there together as a team and really make a difference. And that's what Positively Autistic Community Organisation is all about. It's about working as a team, engaging as a team, and going out there and really making a big difference.
Definitely. I'm really happy to be involved with Positively Autistic. I think it's now 2 years since I've been doing my show, which is great.
Oh, wow. That's gone really...
thing. I remember you called me after we, Joe called me after we had did the first time you interviewed me, and I sort of, it was a really good interview, I was really happy with it, and I sort of thought, when I saw the phone call, I thought, I think I know what this is in relation to, and you said, oh, would you be interested to do a show, and I said, yes, and it was funny because the moment between answering that call and speaking to Joe, I thought, do I have time to do this? Do I have the inclination? Will it be any good? So I'm weighing that in my mind and said, yeah, let's do it, because I'm quite decisive. But it's been lovely, and I've had some great guests. I've had Sarah a few times. I think I've had Joe a couple of times. I've had Steve Zilberman, the author of Neurotribes, and there was one with Temple Grandin and her author colleague, Dr. Deborah Moore, but the sound was really bad. I felt so bad. I had Temple Grandin on my show and you can't hear everything she says. That was very sad, but thankfully the other shows have been really nice, and that was a nice show. It's just the only person who knew what Temple said was me, but it's been a great thing. It's lovely being involved, and I love your organisation. I love your Facebook page. That's awesome. You've got so many followers on that. And my poor little page feels dreadfully intimidated, but it's a very good page that you have for Positively Autistic, and you put some good things up there and lots of engagement from people. It's really nice, and that's the thing. I mean, it's all very well to say, oh, my page didn't get as many views as yours, but really, if someone else's page has got good stuff on it, I'm very happy for people to respond positively to that because it's good stuff. So,
but the thing is, it's... it's all of ours, and we kind of make it explicit that everyone, well, certainly everyone in the team, you know, like Jeanette, Sarah, and the rest of the volunteers are all welcome anytime to, you know, post on there. And we were just talking about it in the talk we did at Plymouth University the week before last, actually, because we said that every like that we get is really good, but we don't, you know, like some companies and organisations will boast about it and say, oh, you know, we've got more likes than you. But we said the way we look at it is we get excited because every like we get to us means that we're reaching out that bit further to hopefully help people spread messages or link up, find new people. So that's how we view it. So it is lovely, but we don't look at it kind of what Jeanette just said, really. If it's got good posts on it and we've got wonderful input from our team like Jeanette that can post on there, then it's really nice. And I suppose also we've got so many different perspectives on it because lots of us have got access to it. We're posting such different things on it anyway that people aren't seeing the same stuff all the time. They're not hearing from the same person, which links back again to what you were saying, Jeanette, that it's good to have different people talking and holding events so that people have got other opinions and views because everybody's life is different. They've had a different journey.
I recently wrote a professional article to go in the Have a Look and Longhurst news magazine. I sent it to a colleague, and she said to get your project out there, let's put it in Have a Look and Longhurst news magazine so that people can see it, and if they're interested in participating, they can.
I find sometimes you get people that have a bit of an ego about stuff. And it's like, oh, but my thing got this many. Yeah, and I just think, I used to be like that, not because I'm horrible, but because I'm dreadfully insecure. So I felt that every like on my page was somehow a, you know, a vote of confidence in me rather than just someone seeing page and thinking I like this. But I did have that very much status anxiety, and I think it's a real issue for everyone. But autistic people can really get it, because if you do have some success and you are very insecure, it becomes almost part of your validation for yourself, is how many people respond to things. And I think that's a real issue with social media, how it's sort of set up, that a lot of people get very anxious about that. They go, oh, but no one likes my thing. I was telling myself now, if it affects one person and makes a difference for that one person, that's meaningful. Like, it really is. You don't have to get your blog viewed 5,000 times every time you put one out there. But it's really difficult, and I understand where people come from that, because I used to be there myself, and it really was. It's that status anxiety thing. It's like, oh, no, but if this person gets more likes than me, it means they're better than me, and then everyone will hate me, and this sort of thing. You go too far there. It doesn't mean that much. But I understand how and why people feel that. Now, you think, I mean, some people from outside might think they're an egomaniac or a narcissist or something. I don't think that's usually the case. I think it's just they're very, very insecure, and they need validation in order to, because I've been there, and it's a horrible place to be. And I got so upset with myself. And stop thinking mean things about other people. It's not right, but it can be a real issue. So I think it's important just to acknowledge that, as you said, and think that actually a like means someone's engaged with your page. It doesn't mean anything more or less than that, which is really good.
Because for me, it's just trying to be the best that I can. It's not about blagging, it's not about being big-headed, it's not about being snooty, it's not about showing off. It's just about, for me, about being the best professional that I can be and delivering my work out there in a positive, constructive light. And that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just looking at my Skype. And I forgot I put this up here. I've got this tagline underneath my personal logo. It says, let's do this thing, let's change the world. So obviously I was feeling particularly encouraged when I set up my Skype account.
That's good.
So, you know, as long as Positively Autistic Community Organisation can keep going out there and doing its fantastic work together as a team, engaging as a team, We're changing the world together, and that's what's most important.
Absolutely, and you can't do it by yourself. This kind of stuff, you know, you really can't. It's a network of people, it's friends, it's colleagues, all of that. And I always like to be friendly with the people I work with where possible, because there is, I mean, there is a line between friend and colleague, and sometimes you're both, and sometimes you're one and not the other. But I think in the autism world, I've got some wonderful friends like you guys. And, I mean, I have a mentor who's sort of a friend. We're sort of mutual mentors. But she's just, I've never known anyone like that. And it's just wonderful. And connecting with your autistic peer group is just the best. And it's like you've been living in a country where they speak a different language. And you learn the language, but, you know, it's not your mother tongue. It's not what you want to speak. And then someone comes along and they speak your language and you understand them and they understand you. And you're like, yay, it's that. So being an autistic person in a non-autistic world, it's possible to do it. It's possible to do it quite well. But you're not at home. You're never at home. Everyone's speaking a different language. So I find my culture, my autistic friends and peers, very important to me. I really care about my autistic friends and peers.
My sister Louise, she's a tutor at Nuns Corner College here in the UK, and she teaches people with autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and she said it's not a simple straight job as you think it is. Some people will wump out, some people won't, but she just tries to be the best that she can be, and she just tries to help people and have that lifeline of help open to them.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say, Joe?
I just think it's been a really good interview, and we've been able to develop the questions really well. And I think, yeah, it's been a great show. So I think really we'd like to say thank you very much to Jeanette for coming on today, because it's the evening there. It's
It's 10 o'clock. It's just before 10 o'clock.
Oh, wow. So thank you very
much. It's a weekend.
Yeah. So thank you very much for taking the time to come on and join us, Jeanette. It's been really great to have you back on. And also to, you know, kick off the show again, because it's the first show that we've had in a while, because both me and Sarah have had stuff on. And, you know, so it's good to be able to start up again and have you as a guest, our first guest back on. It's been great. And keep up the good work. And well done on the ACT award run-up, because that was a fantastic event and an amazing achievement. And I saw the framed certificate that you got as well in the picture you were holding up. That looked really great. So
I'll post that blog on Positively Autistic as well.
Oh, do.
One about my blog. So yeah, I've just thought about that. I should put that up there. So
yeah.
But thank you for having me on the show again, Sarah and Joe. It's always lovely. I really enjoy this show. It makes me very happy, so thank you. And I have to have you guys on my show. I've got one coming up. I haven't written the question, Jennifer. I haven't even read the book that I'm supposed to be reviewing with the author, but that's okay. I'm good at the skim read, and I know him, so I know his writing style. But yeah, so I'm interviewing Trevor Clark at the end of the month, and he's written a book. He works for ASPECT, so the autism organisations here, and he's written a book about people on the spectrum who are gifted with advanced skills and twice exceptional. So I thought that'd be an interesting topic. We don't hear about that very much, and he's something of an expert, having written the book, I guess. So we'll have him on, and then see how it goes. Thank you. I like this show.
Thank you so much, Jeanette, and thank you for a brilliant, brilliant show today. And thank you to Joe, my wonderful colleague. And we look forward to getting this put on our Facebooks by this time next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Brilliant, and we'll see you all soon on the next show.
Yes. Okay.
Bye.